There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Time to talk to Tim Fox, the head of research and chief economist at Emirates NBD. Tim, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming in. Now, emerging markets very much in the spotlight, Tim. They've recently been the centre of geopolitical tensions. There have been questions about central bank capabilities, about debt. But the Wall Street Journal headline a couple of days was, it's far too early to give up on emerging markets. I mean, do you agree with that statement? And if so, where does your current focus lie on emerging markets?
Well, I think the circumstances at the moment are, have been quite detrimental to emerging markets. There's been a confluence of factors which have contributed to the pressure that's been exerted on them, chiefly the tightening in US monetary policy giving way, which has itself given way to a strengthening in the US dollar, and also the firmness of oil prices. So a lot of emerging markets vulnerable on all of those fronts, particularly as some of them, many of them, also have a lot of exposure to, in terms of foreign debt, external indebtedness, and a lot of that is linked to the US dollar. So with the dollar rising, interest rates going up, that exposure gets more expensive. And I think that those are the vulnerabilities that the markets have been preying on. And so there has been a sort of, a kind of collection of elements which have put pressure on certain emerging markets. And I think the other dynamic that I think needs to be mentioned is clearly policy and responsiveness of governments to those kind of pressures, whether they're prepared for them or not, and how they react when those kind of pressures do come about.
And those pressures on those emerging market governments, are they mostly down to geopolitical tensions or other things such as we've seen in Venezuela, where it smacks of bad management?
No, it can be both. But I think in recent events, in Venezuela, for instance, clearly there's a domestic causality, Argentina as well, Turkey too. So I think there's a number of elements which contribute, but quite often they are domestic in nature. It is the sort of idiosyncratic sort of government reaction to events which normally bring about a response which is costly but is necessary to sort of slow down any depreciation in a currency and start to impact on the inflation, which is usually one of the sources of that domestic pressure.
You mentioned the oil price a moment ago and its importance for a lot of emerging markets. When we left the show on Thursday morning, it was hovering around $79.50, the Brent price. It went above $80 for the first time in a very long time, slipped back a bit, $76.20 or so now. Where do you see it going from here? Is this going to be $80 and above from now on?
I think obviously the OPEC meeting in June is going to be quite important. The oil is getting taken out by the Iranian sanctions being brought back on, and I think that is a factor which OPEC producers will have to look at and see if they're going to compensate for that reduction in oil supply. We suspect that that OPEC countries, particularly the larger ones, will compensate to a certain extent for that, and that will that increase in supply by say Saudi Arabia and other leading OPEC countries will probably see oil price slip back at some point. So 80 we think is probably a little bit elevated. It might go a little bit higher in the short term. But over time, our average for this year, we've raised our average expectation for the year to around $69, $70 per barrel. That implies clearly where we are now that we will see lower levels in order for that average to be achieved. And I think that is a reflection of the fact that output will probably have to increase in the second half of the year.
Tim, how are you reading how all this is playing out in India? Because the weakness of the rupee that we've seen in recent weeks has been tied to the strength of the oil prices. And you pull one lever and things move, don't they? How are you reading this?
No, that's right. India, an importer of energy and oil from all areas, everywhere it can get it, and clearly doing well. A few years ago when the oil price dipped to $40-$30 per barrel, used that opportunity to import a lot more oil around those kind of levels. Now the stress is on with the oil price doubling since that time period. So there is vulnerability for the rupee, as there is for others who have big dependency on oil.
Spain and Italy are very much on your radar at the moment. Italy, we know we've got political machinations playing out there. The credit ratings agencies are watching this one closely, as are you. What's the story there?
No, certainly the coalition that was brought together after the elections in April, finally putting together candidates for this government, for the new government, and a lot of those candidates are unnerving financial markets, in particular the proposal or the nomination for the finance ministry is reputedly, you know, very hard line in terms of or fairly skeptical regarding the euro. So a lot of skepticism there, and also the plans that the new coalition is bringing forward would seem to increase fiscal spending quite dramatically. The deficit would go up sharply, and the public debt, national debt in Italy, which is already very elevated, around 130% of GDP, could see the chance of going higher to, say, 160% even. So a lot of question marks about that, the sustainability of that kind of policy, and also about the reaction of other Eurozone countries and governments, and the ECB, of course, to those kind of policies. The government hasn't quite been formed yet because, you know, the standoff over those nominations, but clearly it's a very unsettling one background, given Italy's importance to the Eurozone, third biggest.
Spain's economy minister says that he's not actually concerned about the Italian bond market contagion after that market recorded one of its worst weeks since the Eurozone crisis. I mean, should he be worried, do you think?
I think he should be worried in the context of, I mean, Spain's situation on its own is probably not as worrisome as it is in Italy, given that, you know, there is probably going to be a vote of no confidence in Spain, but a lot of the underlying fundamentals have improved in the last few years. The debt has been reduced. Their growth potential is higher. So Spain is not quite in such a dark place as perhaps Italy. But I think when you see a neighbour, partner, country experiencing such a problem, it's not difficult to see that contagion spread and the impact on other peripheral Eurozone economies and markets.
And of course, Spain will be getting a feel-good factor this week after Real Madrid's victory in the Champions League last night, 3-1 over Liverpool. But joking apart, if we look at the UAE now, Tim, you've had a week or so, you and the team, particularly Khatija, who heads up MENA research, to look at the double whammy of policies that the UAE announced last week. One was the 100% foreign ownership of some companies, and the second was 10-year visas for some professionals. Now the dust has settled and you've factored this into your models, how will this affect the UAE in the short, medium and long term?
I think the emphasis is probably on the medium to long term rather than the short term. You know, changes, the announcements that have been seen, we don't know how quickly they'll be rolled out, and also the details behind within those announcements. So we still have to await those details, and then we have to see them rolled out and impacting on growth. So we think they would be positive for growth, but probably not in the next year. We'd probably have to look beyond the next year to see the benefits of those kind of measures starting to have an impact.
GDPR, General Data Protection Regulation from Europe, came into force over the weekend. Have you, as a bank whose customers have relations with European citizens, analysed readiness amongst local businesses? Does it affect you personally and your bank?
I think all the regulatory changes that you're seeing at the moment, and you've seen quite a lot in the last year, even if they are not specifically impacting on institutions in this region because that, you know, of their origin, can have knock-on effects and impacts into financial institutions in other parts of the world, including this one. So there are knock-on effects from all the regulatory changes that you're seeing coming out of Europe in particular, even though as a Middle East institution, you know, we are not necessarily the primary target of those kind of regulations. So but the, you know, the consequences can be felt.
Lastly, you've got about 30 seconds. Tim, what are you looking at in terms of dollar strength and dollar weakness for the future?
Well, the dollar has got stronger, clearly, on the back of the higher interest rates and the prospect of higher interest rates. But, you know, I think the risks still remain regarding issues like protectionism. Car tariffs were mooted again by Donald Trump just at the end of last week. And the on-off issue of the North Korea summit is another variable which, you know, requires monitoring. monitoring on an almost daily, hourly basis. So I think these kind of issues can, they've helped the dollar to some extent as those issues have gone away. Now they're coming back a little bit. I think they could be more detrimental. Higher interest rates work when everything else is looking fairly good. But if those issues start to turn again, they may not be such a big defence.
With Donald Trump at the White House, I mean, it's been chop change, stop start, day by day, virtually. I mean, does it make your job as an economist harder or easier? And I'm guessing that's probably why you're paid, to be there, because they need you at times like this.
So it clearly has been an unprecedented sort of presidency in the United States. Certainly in my experience, it's not been anything like what we've seen before. And the changes and the about turns that you see on a relatively daily basis is a little bit disconcerting sometimes, and also difficult. But volatility is kind of where financial markets derive their profits from in many cases, and that's volatility certainly has been been relatively high on the back of a lot of these kind of changes in policy and uncertainties about where policy is going. So to some extent it clearly is a very unusual situation, and I would expect that will continue through the rest of the Trump presidency, and if we can even think about it, possibly the next one as well.
I've actually had pictures of you sort of writing reports, and then just as you're finishing it, the things change. You rip it up, put it in the bin, start your next one.
This is all part and parcel, and that's also happened way beyond before the Trump presidency as well.
Tim, thanks very much for your time. Tim Fox, head of research, chief economist at Emirates NBD. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.